Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
All right, that song that you just heard is called Testify by Need to Breathe, an incredible band, and I just want to read that chorus to you. Give me your heart, give me your song, sing it with all your might. Come to the fountain and you can be satisfied. There is peace and there is a love and you can get lost inside. Come to the fountain, let me hear you testify. You see, church, God is going to do a great thing through the people here. This is His church. We're not the only church. We are the body of Christ. We are part of the greater kingdom of God. But He's doing a work in us so that He can use us as a testimony, to testify to those who don't know Jesus. And if the fountain is where they can land and they can receive that, then that's who we want to be. I want to share a scripture with you out of 2 Corinthians. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Guess what, church? Guess what, church? The new is here. The new is here. God has given us a new vision. He's given us a new heart. He's given us a new passion. And we got to come together and we have to embrace that. Will it be like what everybody is used to? Probably not. Because God is giving us a new thing. And sometimes new things take a little bit to get used to. But we have to trust in what God is leading us to do. And say, Lord, we trust in You. I'm not used to it. I don't understand it all the time. It's not in my disciplines. It's not in my set of habits. But God, if that's what You will, God, if that's what You want, then that's what I want. God, help me. Help me, Lord, as I come along and do what You want me to do. As we, as the fountain, come together and do what God has called us to do. My friend Craig Stafford, for years I've been meeting in with a men's ministry at 6:30 on Friday mornings. And we've been praying. And Craig Stafford, matter of fact, Craig's wife Mandy is over our preschool and our nursery on Sunday mornings, on Wednesday nights. So, and she actually needs a few more volunteers. Beautiful babies and our precious preschoolers. So if you feel that God is leading you and the Holy Spirit is touching you right now, then you can go see Mandy after the service. And you say, Mandy, I think God is calling me and I want to help you any way I can. But anyway, her husband, Craig, is one of my good friends, very close to him. And we share a lot of great things, but he brings passion to my heart when we talk. And he shared a story with me that I want to share with you today. He said a few years ago, his sister called him up and said, Craig, the Lord told me that we're supposed to make some meals and we're supposed to take them downtown and give them away to the homeless. Now, Craig said, you know what? I don't go downtown. I'm afraid of downtown, especially some of those streets. And he said to her, he said, are you sure God told you that? Because He hasn't told me that. And so she said, he told me that, so you need to pray about it. So he prayed about it and he went back to his sister and he said, okay, we'll do that. We'll do that. And so they made those meals and they traveled downtown Atlanta and they went on one of the streets where the homeless were. And they turned the corner and Craig looked out and he said, oh Lord. And he said, looked at his sister and he said, are you sure God told us to do this? Because if you're not sure and if God ain't here, we in trouble. He said, if God ain't here, we in trouble. Church, God is here. We ain't in trouble. Look at the people around you. God is in this. God's fingerprints are all on these people. God's footsteps are all walking in this building and walking in your neighborhoods and walking where you go. God's footprints are with you. God is in this. The only reason that you may think that God is in this is because we have let our own selfish ambitions, we have let our own personal desires step in the way. And church, I got to tell you that we all still have to. I do. I have daily. I have to let go of some things that are in my heart and my mind that I'm used to. Most of it's methodology. None of it's about what God wants in Scripture, because He just needs us to say, God, I surrender, and I am willing to do whatever it is that will reach your people and that will bring your people to praise your name. We believe God is here. We believe God is present. God is in this. God is showing us. God is blessing us. God is providing for us. Now all we have to do is show up, grow up, and put up. And I mean put up our time, put up our money. Yes, I did say money. Put up our money, put up our prayer. And after all of that, God is going to blow it up. He is going to bring the people who need what the fountain, what He has created, has to offer them. And that is Jesus Christ. Because church, that's who we're here. If we're not here to lift up Jesus, the name of Jesus, the person of Jesus, the spirit of Jesus, the hands of Jesus, the feet of Jesus, then we don't need to be the fountain. We just need to go on and do something else. But we need to be about lifting up the name of Jesus and His life. Our mission statement, we shared Wednesday night what our mission statement is going to be. And our mission statement is the fountain. Our desire is to connect with God, grow in Christ. And this part is my favorite because this is what my heart leans towards. And I hope it does yours too. Because after we're connecting with God and after we're growing, we got to get busy engaging the world in His name. Engaging the world in His name. And the world means the person right next to you at your house, the person right next to you in the grocery line, the person who lives in Guatemala, the person who lives in Peru, the person who lives in Africa, the person who lives in Haiti. We are going to be about what God wants us to be about, engaging the world with the Christ that lives in us. And Pastor Bill and I will unpack those three points over the next few weeks, and we want you to be here. Don't miss what this mission is about that God has called us to. Romans 12, 3 through 5 says this, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each has one body, with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Church, we belong to each other. I am yours. That doesn't mean you can call me every day and say, "Pastor Mike, come over to my house. I got something for you to do." Okay? But I am yours as God has given me to you, and Pastor Bill is yours. But on the same note, you are mine. If we are in Christ, we belong to each other. We are just parts of the greater body, and it takes every part, every member of the body to do what God has called us to do. We can't have people standing on the sidelines. We can't have people straddling the fence. When we bring who know better, should not be that. You got to get in the game. You got to work. You got to serve. You got to trust God to do what He's going to do. God, I don't understand that. That might be out of my giftedness. But God, I've got hands. Let me do what you call me to do. And He will bless. He's looking for somebody who will surrender and open their hands and say, "God, I've emptied myself. Please come and fill me so that I can be useful to you." We belong to each other. Our time, our money, our prayer, our love, our encouragement, we owe that to each other. Scripture tells us that let there be no debt except that outstanding debt of love for each other. I came across a quote that I want to share with you. "The world is full of abundance and opportunity, but far too many people come to the fountain of life with a sieve instead of a tank car, a teaspoon instead of a steam shovel. They expect little, and as a result, they get little." What is your expectancy as you come in here today, church? Do you expect little? Are you hesitant as you sit on your seat and say, "Okay, let me try this out. Let me see what they're going to do for a few weeks. Let me just find out, because you know what? It wasn't so good before necessarily. You know, I came to former Impact, or I came to former Trinity, and really they said some things, but there were some things they didn't follow through with. We don't want to be about that. We want to follow through with what God has called us to do. And we need everybody on board to trust what God has given us and the process in which He's given us. For great things to happen, you have to show up so God can grow us, and then He has great things for us to do out of who He is creating us to be, because we're not there yet. Who's arrived? Who has arrived? Who is fully mature? Anybody? Stand up if you're fully mature. If you're perfect, stand up. Great. Wait, I better sit down because I'm standing up. You know what I'm saying? I don't want you to think that I am, because I'm not. None of us are. But together, we can be a perfect picture of the hands of Jesus, of the righteousness that He offers, of the redemption that He gives us. And that's got to come through us living as followers of Christ, that the fruit of the Spirit is hanging off of us. And people are wondering, why are you so kind? Why are you so good? Why are you so gentle? And we can say, because the Holy Spirit lives in me, and He's causing me and wanting me to be that way. I don't know about you, but I want all He has for me. I want all He has for me. Not to just to have it, but because it comes from the Father. Because it comes from the King of Kings. And He wants me to have it. He wants us to have it. Have you ever had somebody special to you leave this world, and they had something and you said, I really want that. Because it belonged to them. Because they touched it. Because their smell is on it. Or because it was valuable to them. Maybe it was a father, your father, or a grandfather, or a grandmother, or a close friend that passed, and they had something special, and you said, can I have that? Because when I see that, I remember them. I remember the things that, the times we had together. You see, I want all God has for me, not just because it's something to have, because some of those things are just, they're not valuable to anybody else, but they're valuable to me because it has the Father's fingerprints on it. It has the Father's touch on it. It has the Father's smell on it. It has the Father's approval on it. And I don't want to have a big house or a small house because I have to have a house, which I do, but I want to have it because God has blessed me with it and He wanted me to have it. God wants us to have blessings, church, but we need to want what God wants. And when we have what God wants, we will take care of it like God wants us to take care of it. And we will use it how God wants us to use it. I did a funeral yesterday for a friend whose father passed away last week. Person that I had met in the community. I used to be and I did this on purpose. It's important for us to get in the community. It's important for us to have relationships with people who don't know Christ. You know that? Do you know that? That's what we're supposed to be about? We're not supposed to just congregate and have a great time in our holy huddles. But we're supposed to have relationships with people who don't know Jesus. We're supposed to be intentional about building that. So one of my things years ago is I love basketball and I coached my boys when they were... But through that time, I built some incredible relationships with believers and unbelievers in the community. And this relationship I had this week came out of one of those. Her oldest daughter and my youngest son play football, and she was a cheerleader, and we kind of grew up together, and they go to the same school. So she felt comfortable enough to reach out to me and say, Mike, my dad died, and I was wondering if you might. I know you're a pastor. Would you meet with us, and would you be willing to officiate the funeral for my dad? What a great time of connection that we had. What a great experience. But here's what happened there. They showed a picture thing of her dad and the years. And they had many things up there that represented him. But the experiences they had, even though things fade away, because Scripture tells us that moth and rust come in and steal those things. They're only temporary. But what's not temporary is that which God gives us in our heart and gives us in our mind and gives us in experience. And those are treasures. And those come from the Father, and they have His fingerprints all over them. And we're supposed to use those things. The testimony that you have, I mentioned this Wednesday night. If you're a follower of Christ, you have a testimony. And God didn't just say, hey, you got a testimony, so what? It's yours. No, He gave it to you so you could share it. He gave it to you so you could give it away. He gave it to you so in your personality, in your own special way, He's going to bring people into your life that need to know what you know, how you know it, and who you know in the special way that you can share it. And that's your testimony, how you came to know the Lord. And you have a responsibility to share it, not beat somebody over the head with it, not saying, hey, God gave me a testimony, and you're here, so sit down, I got something to tell you. They might run. Maybe you've experienced that. But you see, God is about relationships. And we all need to have relationships with people who don't know the Lord so that they might know the Lord. Another quote I want to share with you. No man can be absolutely true to himself without becoming original. For there is in every creature a fountain of life, which, if not choked back by stones and other dead rubbish, will create a fresh atmosphere and bring to life fresh beauty. Follower of Christ, we have to help each other clear away the stones and the dead rubbish that is clogging us and keeping us down, that keeping us from experiencing the beauty, the experiences that God has for us as individuals, His children, and as His church. We can't let the stones clog us up. We can't let the rubbish clog us up. And sometimes the rubbish and the stones are good things. They're not bad things. They're not sinful things. But God wants us to clear it out so He can make way for the great. So that He can make way that He will be seen and not our desires and not our preferences. When we engage the world, our community, in the name of Jesus, we want to leave no doubt that they have been loved. They will know us by our love, Scripture tells us. We want them to know that Jesus in their lives, and that He deserves, that He wants to be in their lives. And they too, when they know Him, don't have to be barricaded with stones and dead rubbish, that they can let all that go and have a fresh, beautiful experience. When we engage the world in the name of Jesus, we want to leave no doubt that Jesus has been represented and He came for them too. You have to leave here feeling that, church. You have to leave here believing that, church. Because if you don't, if you just sit there, you'll leave out these doors and you'll do the same things that you're always used to doing. And you can't. You got to step out of the comfortable. We have nice, comfortable seats, but you know what? They're not meant to stay in. They're just for right now. You know, we have a nice, comfortable atrium. And matter of fact, I just want to say thank you to all the people that have been working so hard to get us to this point. Pastor Bill and I are so blessed that you have worked so hard to get us to this point. And whether it be working on Atrium, whether it be meeting about hospitality, we've had so many meetings, and we've had so much work that we've been doing, and it's not done. Of course, we hope it's never done, right? That God is always working in us, but the focus isn't here. The focus is out there. And that's what we need to be about. You have to leave here believing that. I want you to take a second right now. I want you to look around you. Not just beside you. I want you to look behind you and in front of you. Take a second and do that. Just do that. Physically do that. Look around. What do you see? You know what I see? I see diversity. I see diversity. I see different people that have a bonding, a commonality, the blood of Jesus running through you. But we are different. Our skin's different. Some of our cultures are different. Our backgrounds are different. I meet monthly with a group of pastors in Gwinnett County. And we meet for the sole purpose of revival in Gwinnett County. We meet for the sole purpose that God will come and do a work in racial reconciliation in Gwinnett County. Someone brought the statistic then and said that in 50 years, Gwinnett County is so diverse right now that the rest of the world is going to follow suit. Now, I don't know how true that is. It's kind of just putting it out there or kind of evaluating and stipulating and putting something out there. But that, if that is true, church, we have to get busy. And racial reconciliation isn't just black and white. Racial reconciliation is Asian and Latino and Haitian and Indian. There's so many, and we represent a lot of that in here. And what the world sees, even in believers, is they see separation. They see segregation. Because, oh, we have a black church and the black church worships this way. Or we have a white church and the white church worships this way. Or we have an Asian church and the Asian church worships this way. Or we have a Latino church and the Latino church worships that way. You know what? We're all one in Christ. They don't need to see Latino and black and white and Asian and Haitian. They need to see Jesus, people. And that's how we go and take Jesus. We go arm in arm and we share the love of Jesus with people. There's no separation. When they see us, they don't see, oh, I had an Asian person come and serve me and talk to me about Jesus. No, they say, I saw somebody that came to me and they loved Jesus so much it was kind of overwhelming. And it's made me want to come see what that's all about. And it starts with building those relationships. When we engage the world, we want people not to see all these colors, all these cultures, these backgrounds. We want them to see Jesus because we're supposed to be a reflection of our Savior. We're supposed to take the accolades and the glory and the attaboys and the attagirls and let them bounce. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blessing. I lay it at your feet so that you will be known, so that your name will be famous. There's a story, and I shared a bit of this on Wednesday night. There's a story in John chapter 4. And I believe that Jesus was at this point where he started breaking down. That's what he came for, breaking down these diversities, these differences. And he did it directly, and I think it was all, you know, God's word is purposeful. And you know, Jesus was a Jew. Anybody not know that? Jesus was a Jew. Okay? And he met this woman at the well. He went down and sat down. He knew she was coming. This woman, not just a woman, but a Samaritan woman. And the history of Jews and Samaritans was not a good one. It was not a good one. And I believe Jesus had intentionality for that very purpose. But I want to share a little history if you don't know. Because sometimes we tell these stories and we say, okay, I believe that. But when you get the history of it, it makes it more powerful. It sinks in and it hooks itself in your heart. And so you understand why Jesus did this. Hatred between Jews and Samaritans was fierce and longstanding. In some ways, it dated all the way back to the days of the patriarchs. Jacob had 12 sons whose descendants became 12 tribes. Joseph, his favorite, was despised by his other brothers, and they attempted to do away with him. You know those stories. But God intervened and not only preserved Joseph's life, but used him to preserve the lives of his entire clan purpose. Before his death, Jacob gave Joseph a blessing in which he called him a fruitful bough by the well. The blessing was fulfilled as the territory allotted to the tribes of Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, was the fertile land that eventually became Samaria. Later, Israel divided into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the called Israel, and it established its first capital at Shechem, a revered site in Jewish history, and later at the hilltop city of Samaria. In 722 BC, Assyria conquered Israel and took most of its people into captivity. The invaders then brought in Gentile colonists from Babylon to resettle the land. The foreigners brought with them their pagan idols, which the remaining Jews began to worship alongside them and alongside their other god. intermarriages also took place at this time. Meanwhile, the southern kingdom of Judah fell to Babylon. Its people too were carried off into captivity. But 70 years later, history tells us a remnant of 43,000 was permitted to return and rebuild Jerusalem. The people who now inhabited the former northern kingdom, the Samaritans, vigorously opposed and tried to undermine the attempt to reestablish a nation. For their part, the full-blooded monotheistic Jews detested the mixed marriages and worship of their northern cousins. So walls of bitterness were erected on both sides, and nothing but hardened for the next 550 years. That's the history. There are countless, though, modern parallels that we live the division that happens. Wherever people are divided by racial and ethnic barriers, perhaps that's why the Gospels and the Acts provide so many instances of Samaritans coming into contact with the message of Jesus. So Jesus did this intentionally. He met with this woman, not just a woman, which women were looked down upon in that time, in those centuries. But not only was she a woman, she was a Samaritan woman. And that whole conversation, Jesus kind of just broke down the walls. He broke down the walls. And he said, no longer will we worship except there's one God. And there's one eternity. And there's only one water that you can take in that you'll never be thirsty. And the scripture says at the end of that conversation, and I want you to go read that in John chapter 4. It says that she went away believing and sharing with her friends of the encounter that she just had. That's what we need to do. We need to meet with people who are different than us, who don't believe the same things, who don't have the same habits that we do, and build a relationship, break down the walls so that they can see us? No, so they can see Jesus. And they can go away and tell their friends, say, you know what, I had this weird encounter, but man, it was great. I don't know, I just have to go find out what it's about, more about. Will you go with me? Because I really don't want to go by myself. And then they're going to show up, and then the person that they met with, the person that talked to them, well, if it's you, they're going to see you, and you're going to be excited, and you're going to go over and say, hey, great, will you sit with me? I want to introduce you to some of my friends. And guess what? They're going to know Jesus in a greater way. They're going to see His people worship. And they're going to say, wow, that was powerful. I want to know more about Jesus. And before you know it, the Holy Spirit is going to penetrate them and rock their world. And He'll be roaring like a lion inside of them too, wanting to get out. Oh, man. I want to read a lyrics to a song. It's an old group, favorite group of mine, and one of my favorite artists, DC Talk and Toby Mac. If you know them, way back when I was a youth pastor, we used to rock out to those concerts at youth rallies and conferences and just go to the concerts. But a song called Colored People, I want to read the lyrics to you. Pardon me, your epidermis is showing, sir. I couldn't help but note your shade of melon. I tip my hat to the colorful arrangement because I see the beauty in the tones of our skin. We've got to come together and thank the maker of us all. We're colored people, and we live in a tainted place. We're colored people, and they call us the human race. We've got a history so full of mistakes, and we're all colored people who depend on a holy grace. A piece of canvas is only the beginning, for it takes on character with every loving stroke. This thing of beauty is the passion of an artist's heart. By God's design, we are a skin kaleidoscope. We've got to come together. Aren't we human after all? We're colored people and we live in a tainted place. We're colored people and they call us the human race. We've got a history so full of mistakes, and we are colored people who depend on a holy grace. Ignorance has wronged some races, and vengeance is the Lord's. Remember that. If we aspire to share this space, repentance is the cure. I wonder today, church, if you harbor any of that in your heart as an individual. You know, I grew up with a stepfather who was very prejudiced. Very prejudiced. And I had to make a choice. Because a lot of us, when we grow up, we find ourselves doing and saying what our parents did and acting like, even though we say, I'll never be that way, you find yourself slipping, don't you? Right? But we have to make an intentional choice that Jesus is for everybody. And we are for everybody. That all who are in Christ belong to the body of Christ. And we are members, we are all brothers, we are all sisters in the same body of Christ. And so as we share the love of Christ, as we share the love of God with other people, they need to see not us that we're so different, but us that we're all the same. Because we love Jesus and we want them to love Jesus too. I want to share a scripture with you and then I want to close out. And then we're going to go into a time of communion. Galatians 3 says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor there is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We are one in Christ. In Christ. We have our biological bloodlines. We have our biological backgrounds. But we are one because we have the blood of Christ flowing through us. God is our Father, Jesus is our Lord, and the Holy Spirit lives in us to make sure we remember that. By His sacrifice, church, by His blood, by His death, by His burial, and more importantly, by His resurrection, He paved the way for that. And if He did that, let this not be in vain. The cross that you see behind us is the symbol that reminds us, thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, for coming to earth as a baby and growing up and showing us the way to live. Because you didn't have to. You wanted to. And you gave it all up for us. How can we do any less? I don't know what you think about when you partake of the bread and you partake of the juice, which we call communion. Some people call the Lord's Supper. Some people call the Eucharist. But what it is, it's a representation of our Savior's body and His blood that we use to remember, to be thankful, to celebrate what He did for us. Yes, it was something we didn't want to happen, but it had to happen. Could you die for yourself? Could you die for yourself? No, you couldn't die for yourself. Jesus lived a perfect life. The Son of God, the Messiah come. He did it all for you, and He did it all for me, and He did it all for the people that are in those neighborhoods that aren't in church right now, that are sitting in front of their TVs, that don't know Jesus. He did it for them too, and that's why He's called us all together, so we can worship, and then we can grow, and we can learn together, and we can support each other and encourage each other, but so that we can run to the battle, because the battle's still raging. The war is won. The victory has been given. But the battles keep raging. And we've got to go tell people that they don't have to fight their own battle anymore. They have a Savior. They have an advocate. They have a high priest who has done it for them. And all they need to do is surrender to Him. And He will take care of the rest. That's what we celebrate when we take this communion. And so that's what I want you to think about today. And as we close our service, I just want you to bow your heads. And I'm going to pray. And the ushers are going to come. Or no, the ushers aren't going to come. Here's what they're going to do. You're going to get up. I just noticed the tables and I knew that already. You're going to get up in your time and you're going to go take communion. You can take it right there or you can take it back to your seat. And spend that time with God. If you're a husband and spouse, do it together. If you're a family, do it together. If you're standing beside somebody just over here, just take it together. Or if you just need to be by yourself. And just thank the Lord. Do that. So in this moment, Austin and Susan are going to lead us. you take your time and you spend some time with the Lord. And then Pastor Bill will come up here in a few minutes and we'll close our service out. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we love you so much. God, you gave so much. You gave all. How can we give any less? We can ask ourselves that question, but daily, Father, I know that I can give more. I withhold so much. And God, you just want it all. And God, I want you to have all. Help me in my weakness, because that's where you are strong. And I need you, Father. I need you. We all need you. And Father, we need to know what you want us to do, and then help us. Give us a... I don't care who sees us. I don't care what I look like. I just want you to be known for what you did for us, and that you deserve all the glory and the honor and the praise and the adoration and the accolade and all the fame, God. Not me, but you. So, Father, as we take this communion, as we celebrate in this supper with you and in honor of you, may we remember, be reminded always. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding us of why you came. May we never forget. Bless this time now, Father, to your glory and to our remembrance, in the precious and strong blood-filled name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Go as you're led to go.
Now may you be sanctified holy, body, soul, and spirit, that at the coming of the Lord Jesus, you will be found blameless in his name. God bless you. Have a great day.